Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, warner, leader, teacher, and guide in our midst. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you once again in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And thank you. And I am so delighted tonight because, you know, it's very seldom do I get anybody from my home mosque on the show. And I am so honored to have a brother I've known for a very long time, Brother Terrence Muhammad. Come down front and center, soldier. Introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us what you're going to be presenting us with this evening.
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to start off in the name of Allah, bless my soul. I've been with no God but Allah, but where is Muhammad, his messenger. And I also like to greet this artist with the words of peace and paradise, assalamu alaikum. I'd like to thank my sister Queen here for this opportunity to be able to share information and knowledge on, as Brother Robert, Student Minister Robert Muhammad would say, your secret airways and on the subject of energy. A little bit about myself. As you said, my name is Brother Terrence L. Muhammad out of Houston, Texas, is the energy capital of the world. And I've been in the mosque for over 20 years now. Came in 1992 and I was part of that whole group that came in just before, the Million Man March section or phase of our soldiering. We did all the soldiering throughout the ran throughout our region, and wherever the minister would need us to go to promote unity among the brothers, and really unity among the black family here in North America and across the earth. And in that, one of the things he was telling us to do was get into business, or start developing our own economic system, start doing things to make us more independent and able to take care of ourselves and our community. Well, that experience was a blessing to all of us, and especially to me, because one of the things that I wound up doing after that was actually connected with a brother who is currently the 100 Black Men of America Houston chapter president, and at that time he was their secretary. His name is Darnell Joseph, and we wound up coming together off of business. Got involved in this thing called FutureNet with Brother Robin and Brother Khalil. Brother Khalil was a student regional captain at that time, and of course Brother Robin was regional minister. And it was about, remember the baby bear watched the internet from your television, and it was a inexpensive way that our people could experience having the internet, make it affordable for them. Anyway, that situation allowed me to meet up with this particular brother, Darnell Joseph, and we developed a communication company called World Wide Web Consulting, World Wide Web Communication, and the 4 years that we was working together, we was very, very successful in our business in area of internet, computers, cell phones, all that. And then once after you had the dot-com boom bust happened, we were unable to distance ourselves quick enough that our company did not wind up suffering from that. After that, we worked with. After that, I worked with Brother Khalil with a security company. It was called New Millennium Security, and I was the security manager in it. We did that for about 5 years, where we did security for the local radio station here called 102 and 979 The Box. We did the Source Awards. We did several different. We did the national baseball display that was going through the country. We did that for 5 years, and after a while. The company got sold because of the owners. Brother Khalil was one of them that wanted to get back into the communication business, which we were originally in. I was originally in with Brother Darnell Joseph. And from there, went into appraising. Worked with another brother, Brother Kevin Muhammad. He's an appraiser. We worked with him in an appraising field, which was interesting because one of the things I did when I got back to Houston, I was a loan officer. And I was a loan officer for a couple of years. And when Brother Kevin became an appraiser, I was one of the first. Company that I worked for, I got him to be one of our appraisers that we used. And so I was one of his first customers. So what was it? 10 years later, I started working with him as a appraiser, and we were doing real well for a little while before before we had the crash, real estate crash, or bust.
Yeah, and in that time, now he used to work for me.
Ma'am?
Now, I remember Brother Kevin because he used to work for me. He used to do my appraisals.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
We did real well. We were like statewide. I mean, we'd be driving all through to from Houston, Austin, Dallas, San Antonio, Fort Worth, Corpus Christi. We was for the 5 years that I was with him. We did very well, and like I said, we suffered from it. We're about to suffer from when they had the real estate bust. And during that time, that's when I was introduced to energy by a brother named Isaiah Muhammad. He was working with another brother, and they came up with this multi-level marketing situation where there was recruiting. We were recruiting people in the city of Houston and also in Dallas and other places to be a part of this group. And I was when he came to me, I was too busy. I was working 40 hours a week with Brother Kevin. I was going to school at University of Houston at that time. And then the miles, it wasn't enough days and it was not hours and days for me to do that. I was burning candle at both ends, but I almost like I was burning a candle in the middle. So I just didn't have the time. But I supported him because I gave support. It was like a, and they asked for like a fee to be in the network. So I just gave the money, didn't do nothing with it. But I told you I would support you. So this is my I did. So Allah blessed me to have the money at the time. So I just wanted to make my word bond. That's what I did. Praise be to Allah. And then once the real estate whole thing crashed, I wound up doing something else. I started working in corporate America as a supervisor at Hilton Americas in their security section, and the whole thing about energy came back again two years later with a brother. You may remember him, named Brother Emmerich Muhammad, or Emmerich X, I'm sorry. He brought that to me, and I started to look at it. But it was a multi-level marketing situation as well, and I actually wound up joining. I wound up learning the business with them, and then I separated myself from them because as I learned business, I figured out that I could actually do this independent of, you know, paying to be a part of their group and all that, because the return wasn't as well as it could have been from their part. So in that, I learned. I was able to get the MOS, new electricity to them, a grocery store, Indian grocery store, and then by the time I separated from them, I wound up picking up maybe about over the year I picked up about I think 8 new accounts. That varies from from a warehouse, garages, a dance studio, several other stores and whatnot. And and this as I was learning this and doing this, my wife's mother became ill, so we wound up actually leaving Houston, and I went to St. Louis, Missouri. And in Missouri, they don't have a deregulated market, so I really didn't. Other than the accounts I already had, I didn't pick up any more. I mean, I picked up actually one more account, which was a dentistry office. But for the 2 years I was there, I was basically there, and it was, since I wasn't in my market or doing anything, I kind of like just worked with the Hilton Corporation and worked with the brothers in the mosque. And I wound up running into a brother, you know him, his name is Brother Dawood Muhammad. The brother, his specialty is solar energy, renewable energy. And through him, I actually, though I was registered as a solar dealer, I wound up just picking that up because I saw the value in that. And then me and Minister Robin used to talk about that, about the solar, because I was, as my research, I was really looking into the solar and how to get in, but I had no training in actual designing and installing. So me going to St. Louis was a blessing for me because I met Brother Dawood Muhammad, and he mentored me and still is mentoring me in solar photovoltaic technology. His brother, he knows. He's been in the industry for 15 years, and he knows everything about it. He's already doing a couple of housing projects and whatnot. So when I was there, I wound up registering with Ameren as a energy consultant with them, and also I picked up another gas company as a partner with them. Unfortunately, I couldn't find anyone to work with them to make use of that, but it was just, I was just, you know, increasing my ability to be able to do a deal if it came my way. So, not to belabor the point, so I wound up moving back to Houston, and I started been back to Houston for almost 2 years now, and I started to try to reignite the business in energy and also to get involved and expand my involvement in the renewable energy side as well, and work with a couple of different people providing electricity from homes, be it a contract or prepaid, and also trying to get back into commercial energy, because that's the area that entrepreneur and a person who's trying to develop something for himself that can expand and benefit others than myself. That's what I found as a viable business. What I found out is you have to be able to find suppliers that will do business with you, that can help you, give you deals or develop deals that you can be able to cover any client, regardless of a small business or industrial corporation. So over this last year or so, that's what I've been blessed to continue to upgrade my capability and capacity, and also upgrade my skill set in the area of energy, advance my knowledge in more in the solar, my knowledge into in the business of energy, and really how we have to maneuver to put ourselves in a position to take advantage of something that is one of those very few businesses that's out there that we can actually get in without a large cost. It just take time and take connections, connecting with the right people. And that's something that we have to do as a nation, is develop our own energy program. If you notice, you know, most of the problems that has been going on in the world, from Iraq to Afghanistan to now in this crisis in Ukraine, is all about resources, about energy, by energy. If you notice that now that the West has the person installed in Ukraine that they want, and the Russians are kind of like pushing back. One of the first thing that that happened that was of interest, but it was a shock because he was so blatant about it, was the vice president's son became part of a chairman and I think over the financial side over the major energy company in the Ukraine, which was like even the press was stunned that that he did that, because they just bolster the fact that the reason why we're involved in that in the Ukraine is because we're trying to get control of the energy resources in Ukraine for the West. And if you know anything about the Ukraine, what the Ukraine has, it has it's the second largest coal supply of coal, and coal is what you use to make electricity in that area, as well as the eighth largest supply in the world of uranium, which is nuclear, and also the Russian gas pipeline goes through there. So, you know, to get control of Ukraine is a major feat for the West to really paint Russia in a corner. And now, you know, Russia responded by them and China. They're uniting to push back and to form their alliances and whatnot. So my objective, mission that I have accepted is to find those who are like-minded, who are entrepreneurs, who want to use their connections to take advantage of a resource or a commodity that we use every day. We can't get away from it. It's like we have to eat food, we have to drink water, we have to live in some kind of dwelling. We have to put clothes on our back. We have to drive or have some type of transportation. All of that takes energy, be it electricity, gas, heat, whatever. So the definition for energy is capacity to do work, be it mechanical, thermal, or electrical work. So we can't get away from it. And the market of the United States, we're the biggest energy users per capita than in any country in the world, especially when it comes to oil. And also in the top users, like in the top three when it comes to natural gas and electricity. So I would like to be able to contact people in the various markets that we're able to actually license to do business in, such as the Texas market, the California market, the Illinois market, the Michigan market, Ohio market, Indiana, all that northern seaboard area, Jersey, New Jersey, and New York, and Massachusetts, all up in that area. I've been put in a position that now dealing with residential and commercial, but special commercial, that we're able to do business, both gas and electric, in those areas, and start working on our own comprehensive energy plan. And in our energy plan, we first have to get some control over the energy, conventional energy that we use every day, which is the electricity through coal and gas. And the control of that we may benefit from it, from saving them for revenue, so we can put ourselves in a position to benefit from the renewable energy, such as solar and wind. And anybody that's familiar with solar energy, if you have solar photovoltaic on your home, normally what happens is you're able to sell back your electricity back to the energy company at market price, which means if you're paying 10 cents per kilowatt, then you sell it back to them at 10 cents per kilowatt. But now you have a group of brothers called the Koch brothers, who own refineries right in the Louisiana area, that's where the refineries that they own themselves. They've been working to try to change the law state by state, where the energy companies don't have to pay the people back at the market rate, and they can tax them for even putting it up there, putting solar panels on their home to save. So it's like a pushback going on. But what before we even get in that fight, we have to first organize ourselves to be able to benefit from the using of utilities that we use every day. I know in Texas there's about over 400 groups that they call aggregators, that they go out and they work towards being able to get their particular organization a better rate. And so when they go and get their organization a better rate, they benefit because they receive some type of benefit or funding from their organization, be it restaurants, hotels, or whatever, and the actual, and then now they got, actually can also receive a financial benefit from the energy company themselves as well. That's a new change of law that happened over the last, I think, year and a half that allowed them to do that. So if we all know if our open enemy is in that business, he's in that business because there's money to be made to keep their world going. And the question is what are we going to do to take advantage of these different areas, be it agriculture, be it construction, be it energy, to take advantage of it so we can help to build our world, because we have to fund our world on something. And our push now is it's for the food, but we will also have to benefit or fund the building of our world on something that we use every day, and that's energy, and we just can't get past it. Another thing I would also say on the energy part is that right now in California, they came up with a new building code, and I know in L.A., in the building code in L.A., you may notice that you see a lot of electric cars driving around in different cities. I know here in Houston, you see a lot of electric cars, and also they're putting up these, they call electrical charging stations.
Mm-hmm.
In California, in L.A. specifically, their building code is now that any new construction, be it a condominiums, apartments, garages, commercial buildings, whatever, they have to put up so many electrical charging stations I think it's like two for every 25 spaces. They have to have those charging stations. And anybody know about California? California is where they test out everything. If it works in California, L.A. specifically, then they roll that out through the whole country. So that just means that the energy companies have figured out how they're going to make their money off the solar and the renewable side of energy. And the charging stations are one of them. And I would stress that for those in California and other markets. I think Illinois is one of those markets, Washington State is one of those markets, Hawaii is one of those markets, and there's others, that there's a real opportunity for us if we're in the construction business to get involved in new construction and also old construction, because they can receive this certification for a green energy certification and receive a certain amount of government funding for going green energy for their particular buildings and businesses to make them more green or more in line with energy conservation. So that's something that's there. That Brother Daoud, he's very knowledgeable about, and the reason why I know, because directed me, and I do my research, and I like to research things and keep on prying and looking until I find the answer that I'm looking for, and that is something that I would I would really encourage anybody who in the construction business or who you want to get in the energy business to contact me or him and see, look at what's going on in your state and see what we can do to be able to benefit ourselves in that, because the bad thing about black people, as Brother Student Mr. Roberts said today, and he said in the past, that black people, we're late to everything. By the time we get involved in it, all the real benefits are already taken out. So right now, it's not at the beginning, but it's not at the very beginning, but it's at the beginning. Like if you have a measuring stick from 1 to 100, it's at 25. So at 25 is where we're at on that at this moment, and I will stress that we get involved before it gets to 75. Or once it moved to 95, it hit the 95. It's just an exercise of virility, because anything we could do with it, it's already kind of peed it out. So that is my introduction, and I will leave it to the audience to ask me any questions that they have or thoughts they'd like to add on to what I just shared with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Terrence, for that wonderful introduction. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay. And I want to ask you, because for some people who may not be as abreast as you are in energy, because most of us who deal with energy, we just deal with it on a domestic type level. So
yes, ma'am.
If you would, just kind of in layman's term, kind of break it down for us about how we can actually go from just being consumers of energy and how we can actually get into this industry and make it beneficial to us, whether it's to generate income, lower our energy costs. Because when we look at the 58-week series that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did, and we think about the economic blueprint, if we are really, really gearing up to run a nation, to run a world, then there are so many different aspects of business. And, you know, we were never taught the science of business, but there are so many aspects of business that we actually have to go into. So as it relates to energy, because as you stated, that it takes energy to run everything. Even if we're talking about getting farmland, you know, we still need energy, you know. So
correct.
We're talking about building homes and building communities and schools and hospitals. We still need energy to make equipment run and for us to be functional. So as it relates from going to a domestic consumer into the business of energy, what are the first steps that a person needs to take going from domestic to industrial?
Yes, ma'am. Well, now let's look at it where we are at this moment. We're dealing with buying farmland, cultivating land to feed ourselves. Well, and cultivating land to feed ourselves on the level that the minister and the Ahmad Muhammad wants us to do, we have to have the water or the water flowing through the land to be able to make sure that the plants or the seeds are taken care of. Irrigation, that's what I'm looking for, irrigation system. Well, irrigation system, what they use for that is that you have two systems you can use. You can use either the windmill, basically as it turns, it generates electricity to run your pump, or you can use solar to do that. And that so that you're able to make sure that your crops are well watered, so that you can make sure that you know that they have enough water so they can grow properly. As well as you look at it, as you out, if you're out there in the country, and most of the time that the fields you may be sitting on 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 1,000 acres. Most of the time you clear the land, so you have no obstruction, so you can grow, you can start planting. Well, that's a perfect location for the wind, for your aggregation, and also for the solar for your home, so you'll be able to have lights, you'll be able to have your communications, you'll be able to run those basic appliances that we run at home every day, because the sun is unobstructed there, so you can put up the panels on your home, on top of your home or your barn, to be able to draw from the sun and feed electricity to your location. And the thing about it is, if you can even sell it back, or you can do a battery tie and just, you know, store it. And if you are, but the point is, you make yourself free from the dictates of the energy company. That's a direct benefit to those of us who have farm or interested in developing farmland. As a homeowner, it's a benefit to you if you own a home to use the solar. Because now you lower your electrical bill. Because what happened is electricity, even though it's generated 80% by coal and maybe 20% by natural gas, it actually goes up and down on what's going on with the oil market. And they just use, they can't make as much money if they actually go by what's the actual value of coal, because coal is plentiful for, and natural gas in the United States is very plentiful as well. So they can't make as much money, so they tie it in with the oil. So when the oil goes, when they have an oil shortage, everything go up. When the oil is plentiful, everything goes down. And it shouldn't be regulated by the oil, because it has nothing to do with oil. You don't use oil for anything to do with energy other than making a gasoline, jet fuel, diesel fuel, and lubricants. That's it. That's all oil is for. Anything else, it has nothing to do with the energy side. So as a consumer, if you put it on your home, you can not be strangled by rising energy costs because of what they're doing with the oil in the oil business. As well as you can, you want to help your neighbor out, and if, let's say your home, you use an average of 1,500 kilowatts a month to run your home, or 1,000 kilowatts a month. And say you purchase a unit, you start a unit that gives you about 25 to 3,000. Well, you know, you could, if you want to share the cost with your neighbor, and this is the benefit of us living next to each other in the same neighborhood, well, you could have half that energy go to your neighbor. So right now your neighbor energy cost is lower. Now you have more money on both sides that I can invest together. And you actually, this particular paradigm can be done in like that in a subdivision, you know, that if we develop our own subdivision, because I was talking with a real estate person, a brother, and I shared my vision that I saw dealing with, and I got to give Brother Dawoo the credit, because I wouldn't even thought like that and started really looking at it until he shared his thoughts with me as being my mentor in the solar field. And but the whole thing about it is that there's ways that we could lower our costs, get more capital that we can invest in other things that we need to invest in. And but those are some of the simple ways, a simple way that we can get and start getting involved and getting a direct economic benefit, which means the savings of money, because most companies, they're trying to look at how can they save money. That's what they would do. Because the more money they save, the more money you save, you have that extra money you can put towards other things. Like, as far as business-wise, they can put it towards expanding their business, or they can put it towards health care, when we didn't have a form of health care, or they can put it towards increasing the salaries of their employees or hiring more employees. But that's what the benefit for anybody who owns a business or a company is, that you're trying to be able to do more, expand your business and more, make it more stable than you have with that extra money. Now, if you want to get involved in the business of energy, first thing you have to find out is, are you in a market that is deregulated? And there's only about 16 markets that are actually deregulated. There's other ones on the way. However, they're tied up in red tape because whatever politics is going on in that particular state has slowed it down. But the ones that are deregulated are, as I said before, California, Texas, Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Maryland, D.C. area. New Jersey, New York area, Connecticut, the Boston area. They have the Maine, that state. All that eastern area. And then you have places like North Carolina, South Carolina, and Florida. They deregulated only dealing with natural gas, which means that out of the ones that I just mentioned, I think only Texas is the one that is not really deregulated when it comes to gas. It is, but it's called partially deregulated, which means that for you to do business, you have to actually go to the municipality in your area and convince them to allow you to supply them with their gas. So and that's very difficult because, you know, that's definitely straight up politics. So in those other areas, though, you do have electrical gas deregulation. So it's much easier. So first thing you have to do is find out where you're at and what's going on with the laws of energy in your particular state. Now, solar energy, all states have some type of solar plan, be it local or federal. And then you have those who have both. Texas has both. It has a federal plan, and it has a local plan. The local plan is really just started to come aboard because it used to be only federal. California has both. Illinois have both. Most of those places I just named actually have both of those, a federal and a state plan. And the best person that I recommend is if you want to do that. Is Brother Dawu, because he's federally licensed. So any state that has a federal plan, he can help you and help you develop that. So, but like I said, if you're not unable to do commercial and residential energy because of you're not in one of those designated states, then you definitely could do renewable, such as solar and wind. And as I was saying before, is that the whole thing that's going, that's the new push is dealing with those, dealing with solar or electrical cars. Because people might not know this or not, but the number one car in the world right now is Tesla. Tesla is number one in the world. Number one anything car, be it gas or electric, they're the number one car in the world right now. Performance, quality, you name it. And Tesla actually receives a $500 million loan from the United States government. $500 million loan. And which they have paid it back recently. They paid it back early. They paid it back, I think he said 3 years earlier than what they actually had to pay back the loan. But Tesla is number one in the world. Tesla's all in Europe and China. They're getting ready to open up a bunch of manufacturing in China because China has like about a millionaires. So you go after that market. And here in Texas and Houston, I see Tesla flying all over the place. You have the other big cars like Honda and Toyota and GM, all of them. They're all rushing to catch up with Tesla. But Tesla is leading the pack. So my point is that in these areas that you do not have, those areas that do not have the ability to do the commercial, you definitely can probably do the solar, and they we would have to just look at what's going on in your state, and if it's not there now, it's going to be there soon because, like I said before, California is the testing ground for everything that goes on in this country, dealing with commercial activity. So within the next year or two, you can be assured that whatever they're doing in California is going to be soon in your state as well. And I would say that would be the logical alternate than get involved in the commercial side, the commercial side of the utilities. The natural alternate to that would be to get involved with the solar and the wind, especially the solar, because that's where the new market is. Matter of fact, I read recently that Germany, they just now went to 75% renewable, meaning that 75% of all their energy, be it industrial, commercial, residential, is coming from solar and wind. And they're planning to go 80% by 2020. So they're ahead of the game. They're ahead of China and India. They actually, because China and India was leading the way, but now Germany jumped out in front. So now they're trying to catch up to Germany. And I've been in Germany. I lived there for a couple of years because of the military. And Germany is a cloudy, or what they call gray sky country. And for them to be able to go 75% energy and to be solar and wind together, I just tell you, if such a sunny place such as America, type of sun that we receive, and that it's more than possible for us to do the same if the American people and the business community had the will to do it. But it, you know, in America, we commercialize everything. It's all about the money. So if they don't see the money to make a big profit off of it, then they're going to delay it as long as possible.
Yes, sir. And I want the audience to understand, and we're going to take some questions in a minute. But I want the audience to understand exactly the opportunity that you're offering at this point. So, give us some information about the company and how they get in and what are the benefits But before we do that, hold on. Just keep that thought. I want to go to the phone line. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Gene. Did you have a question for Brother Terrence?
Well, alaikum salam. Yes. Brother Terrence, I noticed you mentioned the commercial side of it. With me being a ISO 14001:2007 certified auditor and facilities director for major companies for some years, you know, I understand what you're saying because that's what we dealt with. We dealt with trying to operate more efficiently and how to cut costs and eliminate waste. Now, my question is, can you get the audience? You really have to take a, you know, educational approach when it comes to our people, because I'll go back to that processing mentality. We know American UE, and you know, all we've been paying them for so many years. Can you explain to the listening audience the difference between deregulated and regulated division? And is it also true that I understand that the government had passed a bill that, like, for instance, Ameren UE, you can't be the supplier and the service that's combined in one company? Is that at all true? Well, you can't be the provider of the energy and service the energy at the same time. I was in a conversation with a brother back in St. Louis, and he was explaining to me that's what the government has passed the bill, and that's where, you know, when you go out and talk to our people about saving, cutting their energy, you know, and becoming more energy efficient, that's what big companies do. That's what I specialize in, on how to operate more efficiently, how to cut costs on energy. But we really have to take an educational approach when it's talking to our people, because our people don't really understand the benefit. I mean, if you can cut costs on your energy bill, that frees up more money to save. But can you just, you know, explain to us the difference between deregulated and regulated division? Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Well, deregulation and regulation, when you talk about deregulation, that means basically it is open market for the energy companies to be able to come or to be able to provide electricity or gas to that particular area. Like, for instance, if you have a energy company like Just Energy, that's a big energy company. Well, they may be based in, I think they're based in, they may be based in Illinois, but because of they apply for a license to in Texas to be able to provide energy here, now they are able to, to sell the, they make a deal with the local the local energy company there, which I mean the one who controls the lines. Mm-hmm. You know, the lines could be the electrical line that go into the ground or the gas line that is put underneath the ground by public money. Yeah. Right? That's public money that actually pays for those lines to be in the ground, be it oil, I mean be it gas or electricity. So normally what happens is that you have a company that's under the trust of that particular state who they assign to maintain those lines. They maintain them. They make sure that they are they're working well and that the capacity to be able to provide energy keeps going. And I know in Texas that you have several ones. One of them here is called CenterPoint. CenterPoint, when they deregulated Texas, not all of Texas is deregulated. You have some parts that they have a special deal with the state that allow them to continue to provide energy to their area as long as their prices are following a certain competitive area where it's not too expensive for the average person to afford to be able to have their lights on or the gas on. I think Austin's one of those places, and theirs ran by the city. They actually have the city actually run the energy company there, and I think San Antonio is partially like that. But when and the deregulated areas, they do not allow the one who maintain the lines, with the energy company who maintain the lines, and the provider who actually they call a retail provider. Retail,
yeah.
Which means that I'm selling you at the market at a commercial rate, which if I'm buying it from wherever source I'm getting it from at 2 cents a kilowatt, or I'm selling it to you at 10 or 12 or 14
yeah.
cents a kilowatt. Well, I'm marketing it up. When somebody says I'm retailing
yeah.
something, that means they market up the price from what it actually costs them to a price where they can make money from. They feel they can make their best amount for the best amount of income to be able to cover their costs, take care of their employees and whatnot. So that's when you talk about deregulation, you're talking about those states that have agreed to separate the two from each other. And what happened is that energy company that maintained the lines charges that any retail provider, what happened is that particular company in those states, they actually provide the actual energy, electricity or gas, because they have local generators, and they actually selling it to that particular retailer, regardless they come if they Dress Energy, the Suez, whoever they are. They actually sell it to them. They sell it to them, like I said before, at a low price, 2 cents.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're actually providing it, but they can't sell it to you. So they go through their retailer who actually take that what they have, and they sell it back to the community. It's just a business maneuver.
Yeah.
Because they're still benefiting from it greatly. Because they remember, those lines are public lines. The public already paid for those lines. So you're paying you're paying for the lines two or three times every time you get a bill.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yes, sir. So that's when in those areas where they say deregulation, that's what happened. Now, in the regulated place, they say regulated. Really, what happened is that the state energy board, they come up with the price of what energy will be sold in their state. They say they come together, they get the feedback from the energy company and the public. And then they set a price which allows the energy company to be able to maintain the lines, take care of their employees, and to expand out the lines as needed. So your state actually regulate, which means they mandate how much they can charge you. They have a minimum, they have a maximum, but they regulate it, how much they can charge you. And then certain states, they have pockets where it's kind of like regulated to the point that particular city government may control the actual pricing. Like Austin's one of those places, they control their pricing. You go down to like Port Arthur area, their price is controlled by the state because they got to deal with them. So that's just the difference. The only difference is that either the state controls or the state or city controls the price of what you pay for your electricity or your gas, or the company that maintain the lines, they sell it to whoever we're registered in that state as a retail provider. They mark it up to make their profit, and then they sell it back to you. And they're the ones who are authorized to bill you for the youth once you sign up with them. Because the thing about it is that they, like CenterPoint here locally, they know they have the meters. They know exactly how much you use. They send that information up to the retailer, and the retailer, his people, they just put their markup on it, and then they mail you all the bill. That's how much you. That's how much you owe us. You know. And so I was trying to make it as simple as possible. I hope that I did, brother. If anywhere that I you think it needs more clarification,
you did fine. It's just. Yeah, you know, it's fine. You know, our people, we're so skepticism. I mean, you know, let's say you come in and sit down and talk with me or Black family, you know, about, you know, saving money on energy costs. And we may say, well, I never heard of the company. I never heard of the company that you represent. So that's why I just wanted you to add some clarity on deregulated so we would know and the listening audience would know. You know, although you did business with Ameren UE, who was in Missouri, you're still, you know, with the same supplier. Mm-hmm. You're just, you know, saving money. They still own the lines, you know. All it is just a third party. And just wanted to get the listening audience to understand the difference because, you know, we're so in the norm. If I never heard of it, you know, then it ain't no good or it may go out of business. And I just want to say this in closing that what's always popular ain't always what's right. And what's always right ain't always popular.
That's just saying. That's correct. And, you know, going out of business-wise, those companies, they have a certain agreement, and they're, which is covered by the laws of the state that you're in. And if they do not follow according to the laws of the state you're in, then they're liable. They're liable, you know, and you should always read the agreement or what you of any company that you do business with. And like I say, those regulated places, you really can't. Nothing you can do with the regulated places other than have somebody like yourself, brother, who if they think that they are getting cheated to come in and go ahead and go through the bills. Because I know they have there's one city in I think it's Oklahoma. They have an energy savings month or day or something like that where they actually it's a town where they actually have the people's auditors go through their bills and see how much money that they lost. How much money, if any, have they been overcharged? This one church, right church, the man said they found out that he would have been overcharged $5,000 that year.
Yeah, and that's
a regular thing to go on. That's a regular happening in the business where people get overcharged. And unless you bring it to them, unless you have somebody come in and look at it and you bring it to them, they're not going to say anything to you about that. They're going to just keep. Only time you may find out something, like with the bank. You notice the different banks that went up under suit for bad practices. Only thing you know that if they did something and they got caught is you receive a check in the mail from the that bank because of the regulators made them pay it out. Like I know I received like $25 from Chase Bank. Something they did wrong. I'm not with Chase anymore. They found out that they did something wrong, and they sent me a $25 check, which is not a lot of money, but I spent that $25. I got something from them overcharging me, so that was better than anything, than nothing. But that's what happened. And it normally happens with those bigger energy companies. They're notorious. Like here in Houston, Reliant was notorious for overcharging people.
Yeah,
there was no recourse for doing that, and most cities are. So you know you have to have somebody who are looking out for you. And one of the things that my objective was I want to put myself in a position where I'm not trying to sell you no particular energy company, but I'm trying to be able to have access to all the energy reputable lowest price energy companies in your area and present that to you and have you choose who you want to go with. You know, and that's what you want people to choose. But if you as a consumer go, you call the energy company, talking about you looking at rate, trying to get a rate, when you call them, they're going to give you one price. But when I talk to them, since I'm on their list as a sales partner, broker, whatever you want, or whatever, or a consultant, they're going to give me a whole nother price. And my price could be anywhere from 6 cents or more than what they tell you the price that they're giving you. So consultants, sales partners, brokers, they actually do a service for the community as far as helping to make sure that they don't pay as much as what they would pay because of they're getting overcharged. Now, in gas is a little bit more difficult because gas is, you know, you have a company that may charge lower gas price, and their differences may be, like, say, residential. They may offer standard may be 70 cents per turn, and the lowest you may find is about 55 cents per turn. And depending on your research and finding in that gas company that offers that's a big difference, but you have differences that big, that large. One thing that I was able to do when I was in St. Louis was there's a local gas company that's right in there in Illinois that's been around for 26 years now. And they provide natural gas through Illinois area, Ohio, Michigan, all of that area. And they had, when I was looking at the prices, they had the best prices that I have seen. But I couldn't do anything with it. I just, you know, got the knowledge, I got the personal position, but I couldn't help nobody because I didn't have nobody there because I didn't live in Illinois. I lived in Missouri. But the point about it is that I'm always looking to put myself in the position that when it says, what is success? Success is when preparation meets opportunity. That's what the brother Robert, Stimulus Robert, always said, and I'm sure that's where he probably received that from the minister, because, you know, and the minister, I'm sure the minister is the one who's the author of that particular saying, at least among us. But that's what the definition of success, when preparation meets opportunity. So now you have success. So we always have to constantly trying to improve our ability to help. And people like yourself, I would love to work with, to be able to counsel with, to be able to have what I call my, this is something that I came up with, and where I got it from, I don't know yet, but I mean, I'll think about it for a while. But I call it a strategic alliance. And a strategic alliance really comes from Amar Elijah Muhammad, because he was talking about pool your resources. That's a strategic alliance.
Yeah.
Haven't noticed that the enemy has pulled their resources on everything. When you go to the gas station, you have about anywhere from three to five different businesses going on in the gas station, or more. Yeah. So they pull their resources. They came together. Wherever you go, if you go to a grocery store has products from over 100 different places because the people pull their resources. You know, everybody have pulled their resources to be successful, except for us. We have not done that because we still suffer from this mindset of I can't trust my own. But the one we do trust, that's what it was every day. But at the same time, we have to always take in mind, and I'll tell you this one, brother, is that we have to improve our service to each other. Because Allah came to make us rulers. To make us rulers don't mean that we dictate over the people like the enemy does us. Make us rulers, and from his standpoint is that we provide our people with the best service and do things for them and with them as in their and the whole's best interest. And if we're not successful working with our people, working together, to some point, you know, we can say, well, distrust among our people, but also we have to say to ourselves, what have I done to be able to improve my service, my community, that they may have more trust in me? So, and that's the end of the mouth and out of the mouth. It doesn't make a difference. It's still about service. So if I give you any other questions.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Terrence, and thank you, Brother Gene.
Oh, yes,
okay,
I should forget you. I forgot. I kind of forgot what the question was. I think I covered it. Anything that you
Yeah,
that
he
you
asked
made.
You to explain regulation versus deregulation. But I think what
yes,
the
ma'am.
Audience wants to know now, because I got a question out of the chat room, is as it relates to the high unemployment rate in various cities and states across the country, is there anything that you're involved in that people can generate revenue from?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Certainly. Absolutely. In those deregulated areas, you can definitely generate revenue from being a consultant or working with us as a consultant and sales partner. Because it's like this. We have made friends in all walks of life. Most of my clients that I have had are actually Muslims. I have some Muslim clients, be they Pakistan or they're Iranian. I have clients that come from India. I have clients that are Latino. I have clients that are African. And I have black clients, you know, just the average black American, you know, so-called Negro clients, too. And I would say that we need to take our friendships that we have had, that we have with the community, and offer ourselves to help them, me, myself, and the brother that deals with auditing, making sure that people ain't getting robbed from the energy company. We and others who in that line of work come together, work with those people in those areas to be able to present to them alternatives to what they already have, dealing with pricing for gas and electric, especially for electric, because the electric is the one is the most inflated and the one that brings back the most returns. And you those areas where you have all bills paid apartments. I went to this one apartment that was a Hispanic woman, and she was over it, and she managed it, and they was paying they was basically paying about $12,000 a month in electrical bills. And she asked me, you know, if I can get it down to this rate for these amount of years, I'll do business with you. And unfortunately, at that time, that was at my beginning stage. I just got into the business. I only had two providers. And one provider was, they do what they call the market rate, where they actually sell wherever the market dictates, that's what they sell into you, which is, it's called the index price. Normally, it's very low. But it fluctuates up and down depending on what's going on in the world. And then it had another company that they didn't do what they call multi meters, which means more than one meter. Like apartment complexes, they may have anywhere from 20 to 200 meters, and that's what you call multi-meters, many meters. And it goes into a central system, and then from there they calculate how much everybody owes. So, but I wasn't able because I was not in the position. And then when I got in the position, I left, and I got in a position where I was gone, I came back. So saying that one of the same company that I went to before, they actually were one of my providers. But I wasn't with the provider at that time. Actually, I got with the provider when I was over in St. Louis, but I couldn't do anything with it. So that was the irony of the situation. So the position I'm in now, I'm in a position where I can really help companies, be it small or industrial, save money. And also, depending on what is the market rate in your particular state or city, I can also help the residential as well. But the thing about it is, when I say to anybody, just, you know, go ahead and talk with the people. Go to your local grocery store. Go to your local gym. Go to your local gas station, spot time, or your local garage. A lot of times they have 2, 3, or 4 different locations throughout that area. The more energy they use, the better we can help them. Because it's like anything. The more that you use, the cheaper rate they can give you. Like a person who's using 65,000 kilowatts on average every year will not get the same deal as a person who's using 500,000 kilowatts. It's going to be a difference of about 4 cents or more. A person who's using a 1,500 kilowatts or 1,000 kilowatts residential, not going to get the same deal that a person who's using 5,000. So it's predicated on what your use is, but it's always a savings. You always can get savings. Sometimes you may have to do a mix and a mingle. One person I know, he pays about five cents a kilowatt, but it's like every 3 months. So every 3 months he had to renew to get that 5 cents. Like, but if the market is affected, if something happened with the market, then they can shoot it back up and say, no, we don't offer that anymore. Now you got to pay 8 cents. So if you're always trying to look for stability, and stability normally is a year or longer as far as residential, but if you don't mind, working off of a program that's every 3 months with your electricity or every 6 months with your electricity to keep it, to have a lower rate, then that's fine too, because that can also work. It depends on the individual. On the individual. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anything.
Okay.
Dealing with the question.
Okay. So tell us about the company that you work for. And let me remind the listening audience, if you have questions for Brother Terrence, go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll take your questions now. And those of you in the chat room, go ahead and type your questions in. I have a couple of questions in the chat room, Brother Terrence, and one of them is there a particular company that you work for? And if so, how can one set themselves up to, you know, if they were interested in selling electricity or signing people up or whatever, can you give them that information?
Yes, ma'am. I do not work for a particular company. The company that I have formed with brothers called Lukeman Enterprises, LLC, and we are actually sales partners with the various energy companies. So I don't, at my earlier time, my first beginning, I would be a broker for one company. Or two companies, and that's all they provided and all I could offer a client. But now I actually deal with several companies. It's some markets as many as 8 and some about 5. So the group that I work with, that I'm a sales partner with, they're always trying to expand their the reach to be able to bring in more companies. And what they're looking for And what I'm always looking for is those who have the best rates and terms. Rate is how much they're retailing the energy for, and terms is dealing with how long. Is it 1 year, 2 years, 5 years? Is it 3 months? So it's like it's not a cookie cut situation. Everybody's different. It's like I come with this mindset of I would tailor make the energy program for you, dealing with your circumstance and dealing with your market. And if you're interested in being a representative with me, work with Lukeman Enterprises in your market, and also be able to gain revenue from that, I'd be more than happy to welcome you aboard in those markets. Like I said, I'm not in those markets. So if I have the ability to operate in those markets, but I'm not there to hit the pavement, I don't have a relationship with the people, you know, then it doesn't, I just haven't, I'm just there. And what I'm looking for is those who are in those markets who want to generate additional income, you know, who may have put themselves in a position where they have friends in all walks of life, and they can influence people at least to take a look at and give you a chance, and they just want to use that and be able to turn those connections into revenue for themselves and possibly to a full-time business for themselves. Because like I said, we're not job related. This is really entrepreneur, and this is trying to do something for yourself, but trying to do it, but doing it without somebody trying to charge you, trying to give you a fee, what they're going to charge you for you to work with them, to get into business. I mean, what I tell you free of charge. And if you can work with me or you can try to do it yourself, but I can say from experience that it took me 4 years of constant going at it, constant looking, be able to speak a certain language to the people that they have confidence in me to say, okay, yeah, you're the kind of person that we think we want to work with, you know, which I developed from with my times when I was doing the appraisal business, the communication business, and the security business, because I can talk the corporate language. So that allowed me to appear to them bigger than I am. Matter of fact, it was there was this company that deals with Fortune 500 companies and allowing them and develop them to go up to the next level. And one of the person that's over it, he actually contacted me for Lukeman Enterprise and offered me to be a part of their think tank. And I was surprised. And I said, well, how do you find out my information? How do you get my number? He said, well, we have like 1,000 and something of businesses that we work for. That we work with as a part of our group, our network group, and one of them referred you. I said, "Wow!" But I told the man, "Well, you know, to be honest, I'm not prepared at this moment I can't meet your standards yet. But like anything else, I'm only a deal away to meet your standards. But I appreciate you for contacting me. So and I praise you to Allah because that's just the experiences that I came across." That allowed me to be able to talk the language. And, of course, Brother Robert being traveling him for 10 years straight all over the region and observing him, I learned a lot from him in language and presentation, you know, because, you know, he gets it from the minister and he's the closest person to us, to the minister, that we see every day. So I was able to learn from him. And use that in all the business adventures that I have been involved in. So, you know, I'm more than willing to anybody who wants or interested in seeing what we can do on be it on the deregulated side, the view in those areas, or even in the renewable energy side, work with me and Brother Dawoo. I'd be more than happy for you to contact me for us to map out, organize, and figure out how we're going to take your market and what resources did you have that you could use to do that. And like I said, if you want me to, I'll give you my contact number that they can call me at, and also an email address if you would like.
Yes, sir. We're going to do that towards the end. But Sandra has a question in the chat room, and she says, what is the best way, in your opinion, to go, solar or traditional energy?
It all depends. It depends on what state you're in, what programs they have for solar, because I know federally, they'll cover 30%, and if they don't have a federal program, then it's 30%. They'll cover the cost of you of equipment installation. In other states who have more than federal, they may have another 30% or 50% and help you cover your costs. Now you can tie in a loan into your mortgage. There's ways you can get a loan and tie it into your mortgage and pay for it that way. So it all depends on your financial situation, and also it also depends on how much sun you receive in your area. Because there's a map you can look at that tells what is the intensity of the sun in each region of the United States. So that's one thing you have to look at. The second thing you have to look at is what kind of rates do you have? I would advise anyone of your own property to save up to go solar over the next 3 years and find ways to save that money, put the money aside. Because I know that Brother Dawu and I myself, we all offer a certain package that you can save up for, and also we can look at the laws of the regulations in your state to help put that stuff, put it all together in a package that would help you. But I said that I would advise, because what happened when disaster hit and the company, the energy company, is cannot provide you with electricity or gas. What happens? You're in the dark like everybody else. And those people who have solar energy can will have power that day. And if they have a battery backup to it, they have power that night. So you're going to be looking for your neighbor to see if they have any panels, if they have any energy. So we have to, as individuals and as a mass, in our particular cities and as a region, to come together, come and develop our own energy program that will put us closer to be able to make sure that we're able to function when disaster hits. Even if we had individual homes that were designated as this is the place that we rendezvous at, that had the panels, because we helped the person get the panels so they can have so many families come there to stay with them until the disaster passed, and then be able to go back home. That's better than us having nothing at all, or even put it on the our place of worship that it has, so the people have some place to come. If they can't make it to the designated place, or our mosque may be the only designated place that we have. But those things we have to look at. So I would tell a sister, it's depending on your situation. And if you have have those set aside as for that, and you're willing to, you have the ability to tie it into your mortgage, And it'll pay for itself, believe me. They already did a study that came out last year dealing with about solar energy paying for itself. It'll pay for itself, and it'll go towards helping you be able to maintain your mortgage. That's a fact. And you, if anytime the enemy tries to stop people from having the ability to do something to keep the freedom up that little much more than they were beforehand. Anytime they do something to try to prevent that, you know, there's something you want. So I would say that, you know, contact myself or Brother Dawu, and we can, you know, sit there and see what would work for you. But basically, you want to be working towards solar, if anything, as a backup to disaster when it comes, because we know it's coming.
Sir, and Brother Marlone, he wants to know, how feasible is it if we come together as a nation to own our own energy companies?
Well, it's very feasible. To truth be told, that is my end of game plan. I'm dealing with a couple of people that we're working on something, and I already know what it costs to own a retail energy company right here in the United States. I already know who provided them with the energy, the generators. I already talked with the generators. They already told me, communicated me how much energy I have to buy that they will do business with me. All that stuff I already laid out, because that's always been my ultimate goal. So it's very, very feasible. And I think the thing about it is that, you know, National has a lot of things on their plate. And all of us, if we're in a certain position, got a certain kind of context, we have to, as the minister said, we have to show our brothers and sisters the way. Because wherever we want, if we want something and we see a need for it, then if it's on our heart, we should be out there actively trying to satisfy that need. Because if you need it, if you want it, then the rest of us need and want the same thing. And only thing I need $1.5 million here in Texas, not going to be a retail provider. And I'm actively trying to find that $1.5 million to do that. But that's what it takes in my state. I don't know what it takes in your state, but that's what it takes in my state.
Okay. All right. Well, there are no questions right now, Brother Terrence. So as it relates to energy once again, give us your contact information and your email address.
Yes, ma'am. My contact number is, this is my office number. It's 281. Excuse me. I just had a mind that went someplace else. It's 281-410-8295. 281-410-8295. My email address is, I'm going to give you my business email address. It is powered, P-O-W-E-R-E-D, by B-Y, Lukeman, L-U-Q-M-A-N, at Yahoo. That's one word, powered by Lukeman, one word, at Yahoo.com. Soon it will be, but I have the name registered, but I have my site worked on, but soon it will be Terrence at LukemanEnergy.com, but I that's like 3 months out. But right now, it's the Power by Lukeman, P-O-W-E-R-E-D-B-Y-L-U-Q-M-A-N at Yahoo.com. That's my, and I Lukeman, I'm the Lukeman brother, because the Surah 31 Lukeman is really, for me, my favorite chapter or surah in the Holy Quran. And it's very instructive to men and their children. So that's why, you know, everything that I do, that I put my name on, of any value to me, is Lukeman.
Yes, sir. And Marlone, he asked me now, is there any way that a list can be provided of deregulated states?
Oh, yes, ma'am, very easily. Actually, you can go online and, you know, you can actually go online and just type in deregulated energy, or deregulated states and their providers, and it will pop up several listings of it. But if you would like for me to list the deregulated areas, what they deregulate, are they deregulating electricity only, gas only, or electricity and gas, I'd be more than happy to put it together and forward that to you, and you can send it out to this wonderful audience that you communicate with every week.
Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You can just send it to my email, Brother Terrence, the one that I sent to you. You
yes,
can
ma'am.
Reply to
yes,
that, and I can share
yes,
it
ma'am.
In my various groups and things of that nature. So
yes, ma'am. And also, what I would do is, in my email, I would give you the website for those for solar and renewable energy website. That you can also give it to your audience, that so they can go and check what program is going on in their state dealing with renewable energy.
Okay. So, as you know, Brother Terrence, is there a national effort in the Nation of Islam at this time to pool our resources together to
mm-hmm.
obtain one or two energy companies? Do you know?
No, I don't. I'm not in that circle to know that. I know that I'm just trying to be prepared. I'm working on preparation for when the opportunity comes, that it won't be something we have to reinvent or we have to research. It'll be something that we know point blank, and it can be on, and the way it takes to just be there. It just, don't take anything. This is what it takes, and that's it. You know, set up. And what I would say, when we're going to do a national energy company, we have to work on developing the markets in the markets that we live in those deregulated areas now, because once you have the ability, then you spend all your time trying to develop your market. But you already have your market developed by because you have satisfied customers who you can go back to and say, well, I'm with this company, and I'm asking you to come over to this, and this is what we offer that's better than the company that you are with now that I led you to. Then that makes it go by a lot quicker. That makes it a lot more profitable and also feasible for us to do. So that's why my objective is to find those areas who are willing to and want to start to work on developing their market, and start with business owners and people that you know, and have them refer, because I have people, if they like one aspect, like for instance, I have this one person, he had a little grocery store. Well, he liked the electricity that I provide for his grocery store, so he asked me, well, can you do something for my home? Sure. So yes, so I gave private for his home. So it's like that domino effect. They like the service that you have. They're gonna ask you to go ahead and buy from them, or they're gonna refer their friend to you. Like, well, contact so and so. He helped me. So that's the whole thing about networking. Mister said that one thing that our enemy had never taught us, as well as the science of business, is how to network with each other. Like he was talking to Eric Dyson one time. And he was talking about those who have friendship with the Jews and how the Jews never taught them how to network with their own, And that's what we have to do. We have to learn how to network with our own people, people who have the same mind, and be able to go to our friends who are Latino, our friends that are Arab, our friends that are African, the people that we associate who are white, whoever. And let's say let's do business, because I know that you respect me if you do business with me. If you don't do business with me, and I offer you a better deal, then do you really respect me? I think not. So it should all be about if I offer you something and it's gonna increase your bottom line and it's reliable, and you know it's reliable because of my relationship with you, then You know, that's why I always need to take. That's all I should take. I have this one brother, who's an Ethiopian brother that I've been knowing for a long time. He asked me about, brother, I got some brothers who have a business up there in Dallas. Can you provide, can you help get them better energy? I said, sure. Give me the information and we'll go from there. And then he asked me, well, brother, I'm trying to buy a store there. Is he enjoying that? Well, I said, sure. So I'm going to try to contact Brother Stevens and Jeffrey and find out who does that in that area. I'm going to connect them to that person. But that's what it takes. You want for your brother or you want for yourself. That's what it takes. And then when we practice it on each other on all levels, then our service to each other will be better, and we'll be able to feel at ease to share our contacts and our influences with each other.
Yes, sir. And I think it's Lamaria wants to know. She said you mentioned electricity. What about water?
No, ma'am. At this moment, I have not found a way to get into the water company, the water business, other than bottled water. but to be able to do residential and commercial water, that particular business is really in most places it only have one provider. You have one energy, one water company that does for that whole area. So they don't allow that for different companies to do that yet. But you know, we're in America, everything for sale. So I'm sure sooner or later they're going to do that too. But at this moment, at this particular time, they don't offer that type of opportunity to people unless you unless you have your own well and you dig a well and you. Willing to able to provide water to your neighbors for a slight fee, you know.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Well, there are no more questions right now, Brother Terrence. So if you want to give out your email address again and your phone number again where people can contact you, please do so now.
Yes, ma'am. Once again, my contact number is 281-410-8295. When you call this number, it's going to say this is the office of Terrence Muhammad, a Hudson Sales Partner. Don't worry, I am a Hudson Sales Partner, but I haven't changed my voicemail in about a couple months and to reflect my new situation of fertility. And my email address is poweredbylukeman, one word, @yahoo.com. That's poweredbylukeman@yahoo.com.
Yes, sir. And thank you, Brother Terrence. And I want to take a few minutes out now to announce that most of you who are used to listening to the show this time of evening on a Sunday, of course, you're used to listening to the voice of Brother Minister Emeritus Jamil Muhammad. And let us keep Brother Jamil and his family in our prayers. Brother Jamil's mother had a massive heart attack on Mother's Day, and on Thursday she transitioned. So our brother is in the process of prepping for services for his mother's funeral, which is going to be this Thursday. So those of you who know Brother Jamil or know how to contact him, or you're friends with him on Facebook, please stop by his page and show him some love and support, or even just give him a phone call. If he doesn't answer, he would certainly appreciate the messages. I talked to him shortly before the show today, and he's having a difficult time, but we're keeping our brother in our prayers, whose mother was a very strong woman who had never, well, she hadn't been hospitalized since the birth of her youngest child in 1961, so this was a definite shock to the family. But Allah blessed her to be amongst us for 91 years, and I had the distinct honor and pleasure to send her a message on Tuesday, and I said, I love you, Mama, and, you know, you get well, and she said, I love you, too. So those were our last words. So we never know the day nor the hour. So, you know, show one another love. Don't take one another for granted. You know, call your mother, call your brother, call your sister, call your children, and let's keep the family connected. And again, you know, show your support and condolences to our beloved student minister emeritus, Jamil Muhammad, who, inshallah, will probably be back with us in the next couple of weeks. Of course, we want to give him time to heal. And so I want you all to, Brother Terrence, I want to thank you for coming on. And I would love to get more of you all from 4 to 5 to come on. So, you know, it was. I very seldom get people from my home, so it was definitely a pleasure. Please extend the greetings to Sister Pam.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, your wonderful wife.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
sir?
Ma'am. Well, I was talking with her. I was talking to her, and one of the things that the brother was talking about was, you know, working the businesses, working our network with each other, and that's a subject dear to her heart. And her and a sister out of California came up, been working on something that I think it would be beneficial, and hopefully maybe in a couple of weeks or whatever the time may allow, that you may bless her with the privilege to be on your show to discuss something that, that her and the sister have been working on towards us as a nation working together and whatnot. On business-wise.
Absolutely. Well, you know to give her my number. And, yes,
oh, yes
I would love
yes,
to hear from her. It's been too long.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And let's
take... She's currently in St. Louis. She had to go see her mother. Her mother is 87, going on 88. And she hasn't seen her mother in about a year, so she had to get out to go see her mother. So that's where that's why she's not by my side at this moment, because she's tending to... her mother as well.
And we're going to keep her mother as well as Sister Pam in our prayers as well. Our mothers are very dear to us. And let us take
ma'am.
This call from Houston. 2903, your mic is live. Last four numbers, 2903. You have a question or a comment?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, good. I just want to send the greetings to my sister Aziza and my brother Terrence Muhammad. This is Chef Erail Muhammad. It's a beautiful show. And
Oh, my God.
Thank you very
Malenko.
Much, brother. I appreciate it.
Muhammad Chef?
Just want to say the show
God.
Is beautiful. Thank you very much. Yeah, uh-huh. See there? You never know who listens.
Oh,
yeah,
my God. This is one of my dearest.
This is sister. This brother, you definitely need him on your show because this brother is off the chain.
Now, wait a minute. This is one of my dearest little brothers. I remember a long time ago I used to call him a junior
Lord. Right out. Riding the tiny wheels.
Oh, my goodness. It's so good to hear your voice, beloved. All praises due to Allah. Okay, so when are you going to come on and tell us how to teach us how to bake and cook and all that good stuff?
That's going to be a whole hour show.
Oh, no, we have 2 hour shows around here.
2 hours.
We got 2 hour shows, so.
Yes, ma'am. No, that's
okay.
Going to be, yeah, it'll be up to you, however you plan it. I'd be more than happy to come on and share what God has blessed me with. And definitely it is a national agenda, and it's something that we all should, you know, should know, and I'm more than willing to share. And, you know, this, whenever I'm invited, I'm invited. You know, I'd be more than happy to come on your show. Love it.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm going to swipe your number from my studio right now, and I'm going to put you down because we have up and coming in June 1st. We have a holistic health radio broadcast where we are going to be teaching the people how to eat to live, and we're going to encourage because, you know, I'm a vegan, so we're going to encourage people to try to be a vegetarian from June 1st to July 1st, and we're going to come back and get a report and see how many will return to meat and how many will remain vegetarian.
You know we're not going to give them wings up. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Well,
I'll keep a little dignity. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many people in our nation.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brother Ewell.
No, I was just, you know, I was going to say I love the show. And you know, my brother have a whole lot to share in the energy world. And I think that's gonna top the list of some of the things that we need to do as a nation, you know, so that we can take control. And in order for us to be a sovereign nation, we're gonna have to take control of those things that will help our nation to stay strong. And energy is one of them, and I hear him talking about it all the time. And you know, he's helped me in many areas in the way of energy, and even keeping my lights on too. So, it's, you know, he's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the energy field, and you know, you never know who know what until, you know, you give them the opportunity. And Brother Terrence has created, you know, opportunities for many of us in the way of energy and in the way of, you know, keeping our lights bright. So. Thank you, brother, and thank you, sister, for giving him that opportunity, you know, because without, you know, that avenue that you just opened up for him, you know, now that, he's out of the block now, you know, he's out of the block, thanks to you and your show, he's out of the block.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. Well, I'm just delighted that somebody from my 45 besides Robert is on the show. I love you all and miss y'all so much.
Uh-huh.
And inshallah, I'll get down to Houston and see y'all one day soon. But the way I'm working, it don't seem feasible. But you all are always in my heart. You know that.
Yes,
and
yes,
you know, I want to tell you that this energy program also can easily be tied to the economic blueprint. So I want to encourage all of you to participate in the economic blueprint and recruit your family members, your neighbors to participate in the economic blueprint. If you look at the status of your government today, you can easily see that America has lost a tremendous amount of its spending power. You can easily see the decline of the dollar, and we are going to have to be in a position to do something for ourselves. And one of the ways to do that, of course, is to contribute to the economic blueprint of the Nation of Islam. So,
well said. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Well,
thank you, my dear brothers.
Yes, ma'am.
It's so good to hear from you all. And I want to give the lineup for next week join us tomorrow at 8 o'clock. We're going to have Brother Aleem Hagen on from my other hometown, Los Angeles, California, and he's going to present his book on holistic health. Of course, this is the prerequisite leading up to our June 1st Holistic Health Day. Tomorrow at 8 o'clock right here. And on Tuesday, we'll be back with Brother Rudolph and Sister Lachelle at 7 p.m. with disaster preparedness. On Wednesday, DJ Black Caesar and friends are going to make y'all laugh once again. And on Thursday, I'll be here with Student Minister Stanley Muhammad and his queen, Sister Ruth Muhammad, and we're going to be talking about relationships, and we're going to be talking about jealousy and insecurity. Those are the main ingredients that wreak havoc on your marriage. And on Friday, we're going to be back here with Student Minister Tony Muhammad. Now, let me tell you, Friday's show is going to be very, very, very important. This is very critical. We are going to be presenting the report card from our different states on our missing black children. And Student Minister Tony and myself, we are heading up the campaign to help find our missing children because no one else is doing it. So on this Friday, on our live study group on Friday, we are going to present the statistics in our various states on our missing black children, and we're going to have Captain Emeritus Curtis on there, and maybe some other brothers are going to come on and tell us how to form search parties and tell us how to go about organizing in our communities to help find our missing children or at least find what has happened to them. And then next Saturday on Young, Gifted, and Black, we'll be joined by Brother Jihad Amos Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida, as he gives us part three of the history of Master Farab Muhammad, here and now and the hereafter. So you don't want to miss that next Saturday. And next Sunday, I'll be back here with another topic in the place of Brother Jamil. Don't ask me what the show Sunday going to be. I don't know yet. So, but we'll definitely be back here next Sunday at 6:30. And Brother Terrence, Brother Erel, thank you again. It's so good to hear from you all. I'm so honored to have you all. May Allah continue to bless us all with the light of understanding. We will leave you as we came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Brother,